Welcome, everyone, to the WBAI Local Station Board's Local Finance Committee meeting. My name is R. Paul Martin. I'm the WBAI Local Station Board Treasurer and, therefore, the chair of this Local Finance Committee. And the first thing we are required to do is to adopt the agenda. So, I make the following motion. I move we adopt the following agenda. 1. Call to order 7 p.m. 2. Approval of agenda 20 minutes. 3. Identify timekeeper 2 minutes. 4. Excused absences 5 minutes. 5. Minutes approval 10 minutes. 6. Treasurer's report 15 minutes. 7. General manager's report on WBAI's finances 30 minutes. 8. Set next meeting date 5 minutes. 9. New business. 10. Adjourn no later than 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Okay, so that motion is on the floor. Is there any debate on it, any amendments or anything on it at all? Hearing none. Is there any objection to going to a vote on this? Hearing no objection, is there any objection to passing this motion without objection? It's passed without objection. Okay, so the first thing we're going to is identify timekeeper.
I'll do it, Harpo.
Okay. Oh, I just wiped out everything. All right, hold on one second. Yeah. Okay. So Jeffrey Stern will do it. And is there any objection to Jeffrey Stern being the timekeeper for this meeting? Hearing none. Jeffrey Stern's the timekeeper for this meeting. The next item is excused absences. And we have one. Carolyn McIntyre wrote to the committee on the mailing list today and asked for an excused absence because she can't be here tonight. And, okay, so I'll move to excuse the absence of Carolyn McIntyre. Is there any debate or anything on that motion? Okay, hearing none. Is there any objection to excusing the absence of Carolyn McIntyre? Hearing none. It's passed without objection. Next, we go to minutes approval. Okay, M.K. Williams, you're on.
I sent the minutes for February. Was it February 1st or February 4th? I can't remember right now, and I don't have access to my computer right this minute. So I sent those, and people should have them in their inboxes. I sent it maybe a week and a half ago.
Okay, so the February meeting was on February 1st, so
okay,
are you making a motion to approve the minutes of the February 1st meeting?
That sounds like a good idea. Motion to approve February 1st.
Okay. Is there any debate on this motion? Is there any objection to approving the minutes of the February 1st, 2023 Local Finance Committee meeting? Hearing none. It's passed without objection. Okay, next is a treasurer's report. And that will be me. Okay, so let me go over to that. Where am I? Here I am. Okay. At the February 14th, 2023 NFC meeting, the executive director sent the NFC the consolidated monthly income statement for the 3 months ending Saturday, December 31st, 2022, which covers the first quarter of FY23. She emphasized that it is just a draft and that there were still blanks in some areas. Because the income statement was so preliminary, it is not supposed to be released to the public yet. It's noteworthy, however, that it showed WBAI with a deficit of more than $100,000 for the first quarter of FY23. Whatever adjustments are made to this income statement, that figure will probably be approximately correct. I look forward to the time when this income statement is allowed to be released to the public, including those involved in Pacifica governance. At this meeting, the NFC once again reviewed the WBAI draft FY23 budget proposal. The general manager sent a newly modified draft budget to the committee during the meeting, but it contained some confidential information, and the NFC focused on the previously considered budget. It was requested that the FY22 actuals be put side by side with the new budget. The general manager said it could be done, but it would require some intense work to accomplish. And he told the NFC that he had done a lot of digging into the budget and that he had some proposals that would save about $150,000 in the FY23 budget, but we would need to go into executive session to discuss them. He said that his disposition would be to fight to not do those things about the budget. But he said he would do them, he would have them as a measure to be implemented if the NFC demands it. The general manager said that WBAI was short on its monthly on-air fundraiser goals, even though the station was doing pretty well with BAI Buddies, which was still getting about $18,000 a month. The general manager said that WBAI was getting more public service announcements, PSAs, from the New York City Department of Transportation and the Department of Health, and that he was going to see if the Department of Sanitation would also pay the station to do PSAs. The general manager told the NFC about asking New York City council members to donate discretionary funds to WBAI, and he talked about a plan he has to get publishers who've had authors of their books interviewed on WBAI to donate to the station. And NFC members applauded the WBAI management for its efforts to raise more revenue, but said that Pacifica didn't have the money to support stations that were not self-sustaining. And they again demanded a balanced budget. More than one NFC member said that they would not vote to approve and send to the PNB the WBAI draft FY23 budget. WBAI's draft FY23 budget proposes a deficit of about $144,000. But for the first quarter of FY23, that deficit was already at above $100,000. And this leads me to believe that the draft FY23 budget is underestimating the end-of-year deficit. Meanwhile, other stations are not doing well either, and there is agitation from certain quarters for variously selling BAI's license, getting the Federal Communications Commission to deny the renewal of BAI's license, and for swapping WBAI's signal for some cash and a less desirable frequency. Meanwhile, at last night's NFC meeting, essential services formula was discussed, and the possibility of having KPFK and WBAI pay only about 8% of total revenue as central services fees was floated. The other three stations would pay 15% or more. It's not clear that everyone is going to go for that proposal. What needs to be done is to figure out what the national office needs to operate for a year, and that's being estimated at about $1.2 to $1.4 million. The central services formula would be based on the idea that the stations sending that sending that much to the national office over the course of a year to keep it going. And from that figure, the NFC has to determine what to make each station pay in central services fees. And people aren't really talking about the Pacifica Radio Archives, which also lives on central services fees. And I think we're going to have to talk about Pacifica Radio Archives also at the next NFC meeting. The KPFA treasurer said that WBAI owed Pacifica $8 million. I asked where that figure was coming from, because I've seen a guy online posting that to various mailing lists. And she said it was in the latest audit, which covers FY21. So I've looked up at that audit and found under supplementary information a note that WBAI is listed as having interdivision payables of more than $8.5 million. And I need to find out more about this, because there's another column that's labeled eliminations, and it takes away over $13.75 million from the total of all liabilities for all parts of Pacifica. So I really need to look into this and see what on earth is going on with this audit. The NFC is going to be working on the budget timeline for FY24 at the next meeting, with the hope that the budgets will be able to be approved before FY24 starts on October 1st. I expect there are going to be more attacks on WBAI, and people are going to push for WBAI to break even for FY23, even though that's not going to happen. These are dangerous times for WBAI and Pacifica. The next National Finance Committee meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, March 28, 2023 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. That meeting will be held by teleconference, and that is my report. Oh, boy. The people, like, if they're not asking questions or doing something, please mute, because there's a lot of noise coming in here all sorts.
How do you mute on the phone?
Well, you got to mute on your phone, yeah. Maestro Conference, which we're using, does not have a mute. So
how
please.
Do you mute? Star something?
Okay.
You mute star, I believe it's star 9. Try your star 9.
All right, I'll try that. I don't think it's me doing that.
Otis, who's in charge of this stuff, tells me that in fact there is no mute from the system. So on your own phone, please mute, or else just don't make a whole lot of noise and clunk things around.
I think six mutes and unmutes. It just doesn't give you the voice notice that it would on Zoom.
Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take attendance again, and this is official. So I'm going to do attendance. Please answer up when you hear your name. Jack DePalma.
I'm present, Paul.
Jim Dingman. Bruce Greif.
Here.
Don Hoffman.
Present.
Noel Jameson.
Present.
I'm Arpo Martins here, Mario Mastrandria, Matt Mazza, Marilyn McIntyre, Daryl McPherson.
Here.
Ali Murphy.
Here.
Bertold Reimers. Doreen Roberts. Doreen Roberts. Thought I heard her before. James Sagerton.
Here.
Jeffrey Stern.
Here.
Neil Voss. Neil, you were here. Michael D.D. White.
Here.
Neil is here.
Neil Voss is here. M.K. Williams, you're here because you just made a motion. Okay. Is Jim Dingman here? Mario Mastrandria? Matt Mazza? Is Bertold Reimers here? Is Serene Roberts here? I thought I heard her. Doreen Roberts is not answering. Okay.
Testing. Can you hear me now?
There you go. Now we hear you. Okay.
Okay. So that six button does mute you.
Okay. So just the number six mutes.
Right.
Okay.
And
that's news for me. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. So that's the treasurer's report. Are there any questions or anything on the treasurer's report?
I was a little confused about what you said about the $8.5 million deficit reported in an audit 2021. Is that at variance from what was reported from BAI, from the general manager or budget?
Well, okay.
Or what?
I'm not entirely sure about this thing, but it's under liabilities. And let me see if I can find it again. It's another place over here. And what happens with that is it's something I got to look up. It's listing liabilities, and everybody's got liabilities. All the stations have liabilities, but we have something called eliminations, and I'm wondering if this is counting something from a great many years ago, which they shouldn't do, or if there's something else, because where did $8 million show up from? I just don't know, and I'm going to have to ask people about this. Okay? I will also note that people who are on the National Finance Committee may not be on the Audit Committee, so... I'm not on that. I will have to ask somebody, either from there or maybe in Pacifica Management, what on earth these things are. Any other questions, comments on the Treasurer's Report?
Folks, I have a question. This is Jack.
Jack DePalma, go ahead.
Yeah. Could you be a little bit more specific? It's like a footnote of an inter-agency Pacific debt that we're owing $8 million, per se, in 2021 on a balance sheet somewhere that says that we're, what is it? We owe the mothership? Is that it? We owe Pacifica National $8 million? I don't understand
it's
spelled out as that you saw there.
Yeah,
and I actually, I think what you want to do is you want to find out what's behind that assertion or number or total.
Well, of course,
right?
Yes, that's the deal.
Right, that's what you want to find out, right?
It's interdivision payables, and it's listed as being more than $8.5 million. And I'll say again, other stations have large amounts too, and again, it adds up to a certain amount, and then there's something called eliminations, another column in that same part of the audit, and that is a negative $13.75 million, and it takes away most of the liabilities for all parts of Pacifica. So I'm wondering if that's taking away all of this stuff. I mean, taking away $13.75 million in liabilities is quite big, and you know, I don't think that's a 1 year thing. And I'm wondering if somebody's if this is just one of those lovely things that happens with audits where, oh, yeah, and we're counting for, you know, what happened in 1962 or something. Well, not that far back, but, you know, years and years ago, and maybe it's not quite as real as some people are making it seem. So there's that. I mean, I don't think WBAI has basically – taken $8.5 million of stuff from Pacifica in the past, I don't know, several years. So again, I got to look it up. We'll figure it out.
Is it an accounting trick? What is it? It's like it makes no sense to me. Thank you.
Well, that's why I'm going to ask people who have, you know, have things to do with this. What is that? Okay. Any other questions or anything on any of this?
Yeah, our Paul.
Yes.
Noel Jameson. Okay,
Noel, go ahead.
Yeah, my understanding is part of that $8 million represents cumulative.
Time.
Oh,
okay.
Cumulative.
Let's
deficit.
I'll move
on
to extend the
services.
Discussion 5 minutes.
Okay, could everybody please hold on a minute? Let Noel please ask his question, and then we'll go on to an extension. Noel, please finish your statement.
Is it possible that the $8 million represents cumulative deficits in central service payments since inception? Because that's what an accountant would typically do.
I wonder. That would be quite something, but it would be a very, very far back look for all of this. I mean, they did cut us some slack, and they cleared the amount of back central services BAI owed some years ago, and then said, okay, now from here on, you got to pay. And I'm wondering if perhaps the auditors ignored that and just said, yeah, well, you still owe it, and just put it in there.
In the real world, someone might argue, it's plausible to argue that if we didn't make timely payments after they wiped out the prior deficit, so it could be like subject to having paid going forward, we wipe out the past. You don't pay the going forward, you owe the whole amount. So I would look into that.
Yeah. All right, I'll look into that too. But that was certainly not the language of the motion that was passed for giving the previous arrearage in central services fees. So again, it's something I got to look into and find out about because people are using it to bash BAI like crazy these days. So
yeah. So
there's that. Anybody else have any other questions or comments on the you've called time, right. I'm sorry, let me get back to that for one second.
I have a motion to extend the conversation 5 minutes.
Right. Okay. Let me get up to this. I'm having to do some fast thing. I was looking for the audit thing, and I am just off here. Okay, so there's a motion. Is that M.K. Williams?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to extend the time for the item by how much?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Is there any objection to extending the time for this item by 5 minutes? Hearing none. We are extended. Mr. Timekeeper, I have 1932. Okay. Anybody else have any other?
Well, I have a question. I thought I heard you say that you noted at the last NSC meeting increased support for either selling BAI's license, swapping the signal, getting the FCC to deny the
license. Hold on. Could people who are not...
I need to get this hooked up again.
Okay.
It was,
okay,
I think
whoever's
it was
having
before,
a conversation, please mute.
Took it off.
The only thing is there's not much in here. I'm going to...
Want to put a new bag right. in then?
Somebody, okay, let me
all
see
right.
if we can
okay.
help this person out here.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
And, okay. All right, go ahead,
So you
MK
said
Williams.
That I thought I heard you say that you noted at the last NSC meeting increased support for selling BAI's license, swapping the signal, or getting the FCC to deny the license.
No.
So I have two questions.
That's not what
about
I said. I didn't say increased support.
Why do you think this increased support is coming now, right upon the verge of selling the KPFK building, which was supposed to solve some of these financial problems? And secondly, how does it help anybody financially for the FCC to deny WBAI's license? That doesn't seem to have a monetary point to it.
Okay.
That seems more revengeful.
I did not say it was a renewed thing about this. I said this is something people are saying. And they've said it before. They're saying it again. Trying to get the FCC to not renew the license is something that came from months ago, but we need to keep in mind that people are actually doing such severe things as that. And yeah, it would basically, I think their idea is, well, if BAI just goes away, it won't be costing us any money anymore, which is like an amazingly stupid idea, in my opinion. So, yeah, I'm just pointing out that there are those in Pacifica who are not friendly towards WBAI and would like to have the station be sold outright, and the resulting money would enrich other stations, or swap out the signal, which would get more cash in and would put BAI in a bad position on the dial. And then there's that sell, you know, just denying the license. That's just vindictive craziness to me. So that's what I was saying there. Yeah, we have to be aware that there are people trying to sink BAI. Okay, any other questions or something?
Michael White for the Tech.
Go ahead.
So the tactic of trying to deny WBAI the license would then reduce any sale value or swap value of the signal, because it would put BAI in a position where it would either not have anything to sell or would be in a forced sale. So it would be it would really strip the Pacifica of assets. And people should understand that, and maybe they, if they did understand that, then only the people who really wanted to destroy Pacifica itself would be engaged in such activity.
Okay, well, the thing is that it would be nuts, because you couldn't sell or swap it because you don't have it anymore. If they deny the license renewal, Pacifica doesn't have a license for 99.5, then there wouldn't be anything to sell or swap. So, yeah, it does not
exactly
make real sense.
Exactly.
Yeah, our Paul?
Yes?
Our Paul? Yeah, I think what's going on, is that they're trying to sink Pacifica, not just WBAI.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you tell that person to mute?
Yeah.
Okay,
somebody's scraping stuff here.
Yeah,
I don't want to have to do a
thank
mute
you
from here. Please don't scrape stuff. We have just found out that if you just hit the number six, if you just have to hit the number six on your phone, it will mute you. So
start six. Thank you. Start. You have to press start and then six. Thank you.
Well, now we've got two different ideas. Anyway, do something with the number six. Okay, so, and also, is it time?
Yes.
Oh, okay, there we go. All right. Okay, are there any other, does anybody else want to talk on this or bring up anything which would require a motion to extend, or do we want to go on to the next agenda item?
This is Ali. I would like to make a comment about it.
Okay. We'll need an extension of time. How long would you like to extend?
I would be 10
minutes.
Okay, I didn't hear
about,
Ali Murphy there.
Yes, about 5 minutes.
Okay.
I won't be 5 minutes, but
5 minutes. Okay. Is there any objection to extending for 5 minutes for this particular agenda item? Hearing none is extended. Mr. Timekeeper, it is now 1938. So, okay, Ali Murphy, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Yes, when you said day, who are those day that you're talking about that is not only, somebody else said it, who wanted to bring down not only WBAI, but the whole foundation. Can somebody clarify that? And you also said you, I guess, have some knowledge of people attacking WBAI. And do you think you might be able to name those people? Thank you.
Well, I did mention the KPFA treasurer at the NFC, and there are basically the people at who are doing the New Day stuff. Pardon me, I'm eating while we're doing this, and I can't avoid it. And I got to make a note. Okay, and we have the people, the New Day people, who had that referendum. They tried to take over all of Pacifica, and it failed, luckily. And those are the people basically doing it. They're, you know, they wear different hats at different times, and they're the ones who are really pushing to do in BAI. And also, they would like to sink Pacifica and have KPFA be all alone, and that's it, and they don't have to worry about the rest of us. So that would be those folks.
Okay. I just wanted to add something. To my understanding, there are people at the PNB that they're part of WBAI that are voting a lot of time with that group of the New Day. That's my understanding. Thank you. I'm done.
Paul, may I be noticed?
Who's this?
Jack DePalma.
Hey, Jack DePalma. Is there any? Let's see if we have a. Let's see if we have a stack. Anybody else want to be on a stack?
How much time?
Who's this?
How much time is remaining?
I don't know. Anybody else want to be on a stack? Okay, Jack DePalma, go ahead.
Just to comment, Paul, that there's actually people that specifically wanted to have FCC license questioned for WBAI. Right? Isn't that true?
They have filed formal papers with the FCC to deny BAI's license.
Correct. And that is to the end of making us look bad or making the network look unstable or making, as was said, the A people pick up the pieces or the other way around, they get rid of us, we're a bad risk or a bad sister, you know, a black sheep or whatever you want to call it. So part of that strategy is that we're, how shall I say it, we're worthy of it of being downgraded by the people in L.A. or California, in Berkeley, that think that they're better than we are. In fact, that's what they did when they took the radio station over in, what was it, October 19, 2019?
Yeah. This is basically, it's those same folks. And, all of Pacific is really in the crosshairs here, but they really like to hammer us. Okay. Anybody else have anything else on they want to comment on or ask questions about regarding the treasurer's report?
Yeah, I'd like to ask some questions.
Ah, Berthold, you're here. Okay. Go ahead, Berthold.
Yeah, I mean, I want these commissions and functions of who is doing what all the time, wasting a lot of time. My question is always, amiss all of this, what exactly, what are the products, what are the fundraising ideas, what are the implementation of anything that is raising money so that maybe we can avoid, I don't know, maybe it's too late, the sale of KPFK, or what is there anything that's being done to raise any form of money that could maybe mitigate this? Maybe like they're about to sign the paper tomorrow morning and $10 million comes in. It's like, okay, so is there anything that's been done to raise any money network-wise at KPSK, at KPSA, at BAI, anywhere? LSB, PNB, anybody?
All right. I think that's like a rhetorical question, and time is being called. And pardon me, folks, I have to eat at this point in time, or otherwise I'll get hypoglycemic and nobody will like that. Okay.
Move to extend 5 minutes, and I'd like to join the stack.
Let's see.
And for the record, it's not a rhetorical question. It's a question of what the heck are we doing?
Bert, hold on a minute. All right, the motion is to extend the time for this item by 5 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, it's extended. And, Mr. Timekeeper, it is now 1944, and here we go. All right, Serene Roberts, you have the floor.
Oh, Bertold had a question for you.
Bertold, you have more?
No, my question wasn't answered, but...
What are they doing? I don't know what other people are doing. I don't know what the other stations are doing. They're struggling to just keep their own bills paid, and they're not necessarily succeeding either.
I'm talking about potential CPB, starting CPB filing papers, grants, you know, like network-wise, anything.
Well, I'm only on the NFC. I'm not on the PNB. So at the NFC, we haven't heard anything about that sort of thing being done. Although we got a lovely email just before the meeting started that is going after WBAI for the loss of CPB money. So it's interesting. I think we're going to be seeing this more and more from now on as certain people figure out that they're not going to be able to get a judge to give them the bylaws they want, and so they're going to hammer at everything. Okay? Okay. Serene Roberts, you have the floor.
Okay, thanks. So I joined a little late. I don't know whether you mentioned the ED's announcement that KPFK, that they have a contract that the building is in escrow, that they're planning to do a lease back for a period of time to find, during which they expect to find time for space for KPFK and the archives, not necessarily together. Did you mention that when you were reporting? Sorry, I was late.
The executive director wasn't at the meeting last night, and so she wasn't at the previous meeting, so we didn't hear that. No.
Okay. I also heard her, and I don't remember which meeting this was. So since she hasn't been at NFC meetings for the past month, maybe I heard it on a PNB call, but you might be aware of it. But she said that some people she knew were going to be doing some rebranding for a couple of the stations. I think KPFK was one, and I don't remember what the other one was. Was that at an NFC meeting, or have you heard anything about
nope.
it at all?
Okay. No. Nope.
So there was a meeting on Saturday of a lot of technical-type people in Pacifica talking about the lack of wisdom and thought in terms of selling the KPFK building, the need for microwave connections and line of sight, not to mention the amount of space or the inflated cost that's been floated by some people who are not technical people or real estate people or building repair people for that matter, where they're claiming that it's going to take $1 million to get the building in shape when in fact someone who knows the building and has been working there for, you know, more than a decade has said the costs, the repair costs are about $30,000. And I was hoping that at some point this committee might invite some people, although there is a contract, invite some people who are knowledgeable about both real estate and the technical needs of a broadcast station in LA to discuss the foolishness of selling $4 or $5 million a building whose resources to the foundation cannot be replaced or even compared, frankly, to what temporary gain with no spending plan and no budget for a move or relocation or anything else that is being, you know, chased right now. It's a figment of somebody's imagination. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to do that sooner rather than later, so that we can, in fact, opine, because I reject the notion that some have floated that since WBI has not been solvent. Okay, I'm wrapping up. Thanks. Since WBI has not been solvent, that we should not have a voice in any decisions that are made in the foundation. And that has been said.
Yeah, that would be a terrible idea. Okay, time has been called. And does anybody want to extend, or do we go to the next item?
Okay, should I make that a motion, or is that something that you're empowered to just do, to invite some folks on to talk about?
The KPFK building here?
I'm sorry, what did
I'm not
say?
Making a motion. I'm not inviting people.
No, I'm not asking you to make. Okay, then I'd like to make a motion.
All right, you're gonna make. Well, okay, we gotta make a move to extend then first.
So move to extend 5 minutes.
I object.
Okay, the motion is to extend the time for this item by 5 minutes. Is that what you're objecting to?
That's what I object to. Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Okay. So what we have to do at this point then is vote on it. Okay. So the motion is to extend 5 minutes. Okay. The motion is to extend the time for this item by 5 minutes. It will require a two-thirds vote. Please answer up when you hear your name, Jack DePalma.
No extension.
Jim Dingman. Bruce Greif.
Extend.
So you're voting yes?
Yes, yes, yes.
John Hoffman.
Yes.
Noel Jameson.
Abstain.
R. Paul Martin. No. Mario Mastrandrea. Matt Mazza. Carolyn McIntyre. Daryl McPherson.
Extend. Yes.
Allie Murphy.
Extend. Yes. Thank you.
Bertold Reimers.
Abstain.
Doreen Roberts.
Yes.
James Sagerton.
No.
Jeffrey Cern.
No.
Neil Voss.
Abstain.
Michael D.D. White.
No.
M.K. Williams.
No.
Okay, going back, is there anybody? Jim Dingman, Mario Mastrandrea, Matt Mazza, okay, none of them are here. The vote is 5-4, 6 against, and so it failed. Okay, that means we go on to the next thing, and... All right, so the next thing we need to do really right now is I need to do the membership announcement. And, okay, where is it? Okay, while attendance at any WBAI meeting, attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI local station board that for the local finance committee that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the local finance committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. Pardon me, one second. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The PNB has passed a motion that, quote, only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board. And so I ask, is there anybody here who wants to say their name and say they want to, you know, start becoming a member? Membership requires that you attend three consecutive meetings. Anybody here want to give me their name and say they want to start going for membership? Hearing none. Okay, I don't hear anybody. So, the next item on the agenda is the general manager's report on WBAI's finances. Berthold, you have the floor. Berthold, you have the floor.
He was here.
Berthold. Well, one more time. Berthold, are you here?
Yes.
There you go. Okay. You have the floor, Berthold. It's your report.
I was on here. So my report is going to last 2 minutes. You received the most important part of our report is aging payable. If you take a look at that, our payables are aging gracefully and worrisomely, most of which are created on Atlantic Avenue, 4 Times Square. ACD, the call center. And let me see what else.
Before that, this team needs a coach. Now, let me ask you a question.
Right, hold on a minute. Hold on. Somebody's, you know, really making a lot of noise here. All right, people, mute yourself if you're not talking right now, okay? Only Berthold should be talking right now, and shouting should not be happening, okay? Here we go.
All right.
Go ahead, Berthold.
So if you look at the aging payable, you will see that $157,000.
Wait a minute. Are we looking at something, Berthold? You didn't send us anything.
Yes, I did.
When?
I sent today, this morning, early, I sent you two documents.
Oh, there's something. Okay. I see it here just before noon. All right. I wish you would send stuff like that to the committee mailing list. I'll forward it to the list now. Okay, folks.
But I didn't open it yet. I didn't look at it.
Well, it's just going to the mailing list now.
Well, yeah. I thought
okay,
I
did. Okay, go ahead, Berthold.
Okay, so right now we have about close to $10,000 in the bank. We have $1.5 million of outstanding payables, of which 10% is for outside vendors, and the other 90% is for Pacifica. We owe payroll from way back 91 days and over. I mean, we have been up to date for a while. 91 days and over, it's been $147,000. Healthcare benefits, we're going way back like 6 years. $183,000. There's $11,000 this month that we will pay soon. Then Pacifica Radio Archives International Office, 311 and 734. So our debt to the National Office is $1.3 million. And our debt to outside vendors, which is like our operating expenses, is $157,000. So it's pretty clear, you know, I subtotaled them, I highlighted them in yellow, so that you can see what is what. And so basically, one of the major bills to the outside vendors is Four Times Square, the rent at $388, and a call center. So I have this. Can you guys see all these documents?
I only just forwarded Bertold, so I don't know if everybody sees it yet. I mean, I've got it here.
It was sent to go at 11:37 this morning.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know if everybody sees it yet, Bertold. But anyway, go on. Uh-huh. Bertold, are you still there?
Wow.
Bertold, we don't hear you right now, Bertold. Bertold? I think you're still up here, are you?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
all right, and well, whoever's clanking things around, please stop doing that.
Yes,
right, Bertold.
Please.
Bertold, go ahead.
Okay. So so the thing though is so I'll, while you guys gather these two documents, it's very easy to read. I'll focus on some other stuff. So, you know, we contacted most of the city council members and we need to do more follow up and then second level follow up. Unfortunately today, there's a member who had set up a meeting for me and a city council member to talk on the phone, but I missed the meeting, or the Zoom meeting, and she had to do the call herself. I was stuck in a few things, unfortunately, but that's no excuse. I had to prioritize that, and other things were coming up. We keep on getting money from the PSAs. I think we can easily project that we're going to make between $7,000 and $10,000 a month on a regular basis, especially if we go after Department of Sanitation and some other other departments. There's a board member on this committee that sent out to me some documentation that might help follow up on some items. I'm not sure if the member wants me to say who it is or not, but thank you very much, member of this committee, for help. For, you know, the fact that you send me the information to do my job does not necessarily mean that you agree with the PSAs and then going that way. But as you know, some of you understand how dire the situation is, and then maybe helping me to do this until Pacifica can come up with better solution, and I do appreciate that. What else? We are meeting with SOBs and a few producers to try to do quite a few events at SOBs. I'm meeting with producers. I had a very productive meeting with producers last week, and then they came up with a lot of critique is a positive way of looking at how to come up with business solutions to do things. And one of the things that they are going to take head on is run a 2-week fund drive, full fund drive in May. I'm meeting with Catherine Davis, who is probably the most experienced of all producers at the station right now that have ran fund drive before. So we figured that between now and May 1st, we may have enough time to get everything together. And so the executive director is behind that. I, you know, gave her report on the meeting with the producers, and she was very pleased, and she said that the producers had positive ideas. and things like that. And then, you know, so let's just see if we can ride on that. And so that's it for as far as raising money at WBI. I have decided that I'm going to try to phase out the call center or phase down the call center. The call center's bill is $6,000 to $7,000 a month. We just cannot afford it. We have too many listeners calling in, and every time they're on the air, that's generating bills. Whether or not it's a legitimate call or not, every time they call to complain about a premium, which is a ridiculous thing to do because the call center has nothing to do with premium, but they keep on calling, or anything of that sort. Or you know, or people are supposedly put on hold for a long time. You call and the phone, you know. So I, against my good judgment, I'm going to try to. I mean, I've been talking to Grayson already, trying to get the 7 phone lines at 388 Atlantic Avenue, and I'm going to be talking to a few people to see, and I'm going to get a PSA to get people to email and give their time and contact information, day and time that they can come in on the regular basis to cover hours on the phone. It's going to be a nightmare for me. It was a nightmare before at 120 Wall Street, and it's going to be more of a nightmare. But that might be the only thing we can do right now. That would reduce our bill by $72,000. That's $6,000 a month times 12 months. That's $72,000. That would reduce our deficit and maybe take the National Finance Committee off our back a little bit. However, I understand that at KPFK, they have the same system. And then if no one at the station answers the phone, it still defaults to the call center after, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 rings. And so we're going to try to do that. That's what I wanted to do from the very beginning. But, you know, we didn't have the time, the technology, and all of that things that we needed to get this thing done. So we are going to work on it. And after we work on it, we're going to actually get it done. Opera Martin rightfully so came up with the comment that, you know, we have prided ourselves in using a call center, which was EPAC compliant, which means that, you know, when you use a call center, then supposedly these people are in a room, closed in, with no pen and paper. And they are just typing in the information in the system, in the computer, and the information disappears. They cannot get to it after that. So it's safe for the listeners to call in, and then their information is safe. However, if you have volunteers answering the phone, that's not going to be the situation. And so, I think supposedly this is not totally legal, you know, but some people commented that the call centers, who knows, because they feel that sometimes when they answer the phone, it seems like the phone at certain times went to somebody's house somewhere. And so we don't have any way to verify that. But the call center can claim, and that would be their deal with the FCC or whomever is regulating that stuff, and then we would not be responsible for that. However, the rest of the network does not use any of that stuff, you know, and I was always proud to say we do that. We use that stuff. So... So I don't know exactly. I am going to be working with Stephanie, the executive director, to ask, and then probably James Target and some of officers of the foundation to go over this and see how we can implement it. It cannot be a hostile situation. It has to be a friendly talk with the call center, letting them know that the $55,000 we owe them, we are going to slowly pay them back.
And really, in some ways, you're kind of taking your
problem.
But it doesn't make any sense for us to be paying the call center like $3,000 to $4,000 a month on a $6,000 bill. Whereas, even though we're making payment and effort, you know, we are increasing the debt every month by two to $3,000. So we're going to have to do something about this. You know, if I have to be at the station every day, all day, nonstop, whatever the heck it is, Linda and stuff, and volunteer to answer this phone, to catch up, and still have the phone defer to the call center when no one is answering at the station. So it might incur a few couple of dollars, you know. But my frustration is this: when I went to ACD and Allegiance, this was because there was a lot of pressure from the network. We're going to do a network-wide thing. KPFT Houston, KPFK, KPFA, a bunch of stations use Allegiance, and then let's use the same call center, and then we're going to have this whole thing managed, and then have economy of scale. Well, we could have told this call center, you cannot keep on increasing the rate per minute of the calls, you know, because this is a large volume you're going to lose. So, of course, no one in the network does anything that makes sense. And then, you know, WBAI is always stupid to follow and to think that we're going to have, you know, collaboration amongst all of us and then do something that makes sense, and it never happens. So I'm not complaining or saying it's anybody's fault, but what I'm saying is, the idea that, you know, the call center keeps on increasing their rate and then we are falling behind is frustrating. And so whether or not to blame someone or not to blame someone, I feel that I have to do something about this. And I think this is one of the best solutions I can come up with besides my health and my sanity to deal with having these calls coming to the station. The problem is going to be that we ported the 212 to the call center. We have done that before. So we owe them $55,000. So they're going to have to collaborate and port that 212 number back to us, and for them to be the second user, and that is something that's problematic. That is why we had used the 516 number at one point, and then that's something that we should not. That's a mistake we should never have made. But you know, we had no choice. We were running out of time, so that's what we have to do. Have you guys had a chance to look at the outstanding payable from the file that I sent at about noon today?
People have had a chance, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, very simple. I have three yellow lines. The first yellow line is a subtotal of outside vendors. The second total line is a Pacifica money outstanding to Pacifica for central service, healthcare, a few payroll, and Pacifica Radio Archives. And then the last yellow is the sum of the two. And on all the way to the right is the percentage of those bills, what percentage it represents. Out of the $1.5 million outstanding payable, you know, what do those bills represent? For example, the call center represents 4% of that bill. The 388, 2% of the bill, 4 times square, 4% of the bill. So between those three alone, you basically have the 10% that we owe to outside vendors. And then you can see that the Pacifica Radio Archives represent 20% of the bill. And Pacifica National Office represent almost 50% of the bill. So that's our situation. These are the facts. You know, this goes back, I don't know, 6 years, these numbers. Next time I put an outstanding aging payable, I will write on top on from which month and year to present, so that we can know exactly what that represents. And I know I've given this before, but every time I give it, you know, people ask the same question again. I have given the breakdown of those bills by month and year. So I hope you have those, any of those big bills, the payroll expenses and whatever, when did this bill occur, and then how did that, break down? That's a 20-second drill down on QuickBooks. And then that's basically it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Michael, wait for this.
I will go. I do the questioning first, and the first thing is, Bertold, you really have to send these things directly to the mailing list. I mean, you know, you can't guarantee that I'm not going to miss an email from you. So please send these things to the email list from now on. The other thing is the legality of this. I remember, people were pressing and bringing up the assertion that, what is that? Is that you, Bertold? Is that you with a beeping?
Go ahead.
I guess it is. People brought up some years ago that it's against the law to have just people sitting there taking other people's credit card and all that other information, that you just can't do it that way. So are you going to at least talk to, like, the general counsel and see if that is really something that we would be breaking the law doing? Because the worst thing to do would be to break the law on that, and then, you know, the station gets a big fine or something, you know, which makes things worse. So really, check this out. Don't just have people in there doing this without making sure it's all legal.
This is Jack.
Okay, I'm still on, and we'll get to other people shortly. So you're saying 10% of the by the way, why doesn't this spreadsheet, your spreadsheet is doing something odd here, and anyway, it will not resize a column. Oh, that's something else. So 10% is outside vendors and 90% is Pacifica. And the thing is, you know, you can't discount this. You can't just say, oh, that doesn't, you know, that's just okay, because it's not okay. They're gonna come after you for that, and they're going to come after BAI for that. Please be careful how you phrase some of these things. All right. Other people have anything, any questions for the general manager? Let's start a
Michael
stack.
Michael White to the stack. Michael
okay,
White.
Okay, White.
Well,
who else?
Well, can I answer quickly?
Hold on. Let me get a stack, and then you'll go, okay? I have Michael White. Who else wants to be on a stack? Nobody. Bertold.
I wanted to get on the stack. This is Jack.
Okay, De Palma. Anybody else want to be on the stack? All right. Bertold, you wanted to say something? Go ahead, and then we'll go to Michael White on the stack. Go ahead, Bertold.
Yeah, well, no, I don't know what the interpretation of anybody is. This is just a breakdown. This is a scientific breakdown of the stuff. That's what it is. As you can see, not only did I break down the subtotal, but I broke down each item. Just want people to know exactly what it is that is hurting us. And so the thing is, how do you tackle them? So I felt that, focusing on this made it possible for me to think about maybe we can work on the call center. The fact is, like, most of the Pacific stations are not compliant, and if it's EPA or something compliant, I will get that and then send it to you guys. How much is that we enforce? I have no idea, but most of the participants are not compliant. My idea is that if ever there was any fine, the whole network would be gone because most of the network stations are not complying with it. So that's that part. So this thing is stretching is supposed to be broken down by interpretation of what it is that is that we are not paying, and what are they, and can we address them? Which one can we address? Can we fix? Which one we can't fix? So the call center, for example, it's looking at you and saying that, all the money that I paid the call center, $6,000 a month, I could have been paying $388 at $90,000 and maybe some of it to four times square if we were able to figure out how to do this, even though it's going to be a nightmare for me. That's for sure. That's another task. I don't really want to do it. But, we are coming to the point where we may have to lay off staff, which does not make any sense either, by the way. So that's, I just put it out here, possibility of laying off staff. We may have to lay off the entire station, including me and Linda, if we want to have a balanced budget. So a lot of people want a balanced budget, obsessed with the idea of a balanced budget. Like, even if we were to have a budget that was not totally balanced, where we only pay the national office half of central service, they don't care because their obsession now is about a balanced budget. So it is important to try to figure out what we can reduce, how we can reduce them, before we go to the staff and to everybody and then become a repeater station.
Is that it? Okay. Next person on stack is Michael White.
Yeah, Berthold, I think I understood from what you were saying that we have two telephone numbers that people can call into. One is the telephone number that people call into if there's a problem, they haven't received a premium, and it's a premium expediting number. And then the other is the call center number that people call into, which is when they want to make a donation or order a new premium. And I think what I heard you say is that if people, instead of calling into the premium expediting number, which is a separate number, if they call into the call center to complain that they haven't received a premium, then they are driving up our costs and reducing our efficiency. And essentially, anyone at this meeting now listening to what we're now talking about who learns this, if they want to drive us into bankruptcy and make us less efficient, they can now just place a bunch of harassing phone calls to the call center to say that they haven't received their premium. So this is something that I don't think people know, and I wonder if people are more educated about this, we can help our listeners, the ones who want to actually support us, to do the right thing and call the right number. I have a second question, which is about general programming. So here's the second question. So you'll have to remember that I have two questions. And based on what you're seeing of this station, if we want to build audience and we want to build revenue-producing shows, i.e. listener-supported, contributing shows, and I'm talking about shows that have low overhead, if we can make suggestions to you, what models or aspirations do you have about what kind of shows we should be suggesting? There's a lot of great content out there, and the alternative media is skyrocketing in terms of listenership. So what can we suggest to you that's going to boost listenership? revenue based on what you're seeing going on the station without too much overhead, because I know some people want to be paid exorbitant amounts of money. So the first question is about those two numbers and the way we can actually be targeted to people who don't want to help us. They want us to they want to make our call center inefficient. So those are my two. That's a two part of my question.
I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Well, if I were to answer that very quickly, I would say that I never thought of it that way, but I guess that's a possibility. So I think people are a little different way that I see it. I see people are frustrated. They call 212-209-2870 and they don't find anyone. They've been told over and over, maybe you have to play a card again, let people know. You call that number, you leave a message. If you are lucky, you may find someone on Friday. Maxine and Denise are there, but preferably you leave a message, you come and get all the messages, and on Friday they respond to all your answers. You know, if somebody says their answers were not responded, they were not responded to, they're not accurate. They are responded to every single call. They might not be happy with the answer. The answer may not solve their problem, but their call were answered. And so, but these people instead, now they call 212-950 because they hear that often. And then they think that's going to solve their problems. And then therefore wasting their time, the call center's time, and our money. That's what I see. As far as getting shows that are popular, well, that's what WBI has always done, right? I mean, we have attracted activist people who address the issues that are pertinent to, you know, the health and wealth of regular working, hardworking, people. And then that's how we do our shows. So we're always welcoming shows that are popular and also hard hitting on subjects that we hold dear. I'm done.
Okay. All right. Michael White, I think you're done there. Jack DePalma, you have the floor. Who's that?
Daryl for the stack after Jack.
Okay, I'll put you in after Jack.
Thank you. Thank you, Apple. Not at all. It's almost like shocking, but I figured it cost money for people to sit there and answer a phone call and be bonded. Magic word, fellas. I was bonded as a subway messenger when I was 17. I was insured as a cab driver for $5 million when I drove a taxi cab in a rental circumstance with a fleet cab. And also I was fingerprinted as a teacher. I understand what Bertrand is saying. I understand when he says that we have to be responsible and we have to be aware about the legal issues about keeping other people's information. However, I think that the other thing that Bertrand is saying is really kind of very evident to me for many years. The listener of WBAI not only wants to complain about WBAI, and they want their premium, of course, but they want to tell everybody how lousy we are. I see it on Yelp occasionally, or I see it on these online places. So the question is this, Bertol. We can do something like what we used to do. I talked about this with you in the past. But doing it requires some type of approach to bonding or legally making people available. And the other thing that I keep thinking, what Michael said kind of made me think a different way, but what you said, Bertolt, makes me think that you have to change all the phone numbers. You have to get one phone number or two phone numbers at WBAI that people actually sit at. And I'll sign a legal document saying I won't use this information against the interest of the radio station. Or you are the general manager. I feel that you can say, I swear that I'm not going to use this information except for what it's intended for. I won't steal from the radio station. But then you have to change all the phone numbers and all the advertised phone numbers and all the premiums. When we go to the call center, you have to go to the call center. But if people are calling up the call center and costing us money, you should shut the call center off tomorrow if you were responsible thinking. Because it's costing us money. for people to call up and say, oh, I didn't get my premium from 2 years ago. Where's my red stuff? Oh, I gave you $200. Where's my premium? You forgot my address or what? That's crazy. But that's my opinion. I'd go sit at the phone. I couldn't give you every day. I couldn't make a plan. But you have to make a plan, because if it's cost you $60,000, $54,000 that you owe the call center because they receive phone calls, all right, against $1 million, I guess that's what it costs. But the other side is people have to get paid to be secure. The whole thing about the lock when you do it through the Internet. I've been trying to send money to the radio station in a variety of ways to see what's the difficulty, how it works, this and that. You know what I do, Bertel. I send a check. So do you have anything to say about how really crazy it is? Because that's what we have to do. We have to change all the phone numbers. We have to make it so that we don't let the call center, ring up a big bill because 10 people call up complaining about this and 5 people call up and give money. But any comments?
Well, first of all, I don't recall too many incidents of people doing crazy things with their listeners' credit cards to begin with. You know, from what I remember, there was not that many incidents. Second, we do have one line, 212-209-2950. That out, branches out to 10 sublines that can, or more than that, that can take a 10 or 15 phone number. So we don't have a problem with that. We could set that up right now if we just port the phone number back to where we were at.
Okay, I just heard time called. Does somebody want to make a motion to extend the time for this item?
I move you extend 5 minutes, Paul. Let's go down, Steve. Let Bertel say more if he can.
Okay.
That's all right, Paul. I'll do it a different way.
Okay, hold on. Let me write this down. Okay, the motion is to extend the time for this item by 5 minutes. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we're extended. Boy, I hope it doesn't crash again. And it, Mr. Timekeeper, it is 2031. Okay, Daryl, go ahead.
Okay, Bertel. One thing that I noticed is that
nobody.
I think that if everybody understood that Pacifica Foundation owns WBAI. And it would be really interesting to understand who gets to make what decision about what, so that we can be clear when we say it's our station, in the context that, in fact, it's Pacifica Foundation station, and we contribute to it and keep it alive. So I think if we better understood the structure of the relationship of the station to the foundation, and then got people who participate in meetings and also listen to the station understand how things are working, I think we do a whole lot better. The other piece is that every time we ask for money, I think it would be in our interest to say how much money we owe, how much money we need this hour, how much money we raised last hour, and what's the overall thing. Arthur Schwartz today said that the station runs on $1.3 million. Well, it doesn't. So, I mean, if you got your lawyer telling people that we only need $1.3 million, and what does that produce, a $200,000 deficit? We need to make things much more clear. Now, with regard to the call center, I noticed that most big businesses today are farming their people out from home, which is what you were referring to. So if Jack DePalma is correct, then what we would need to do is get volunteers who are bonded in order to take the calls to, I would imagine, ensure that if there was a problem, we had a way to compensate for it. Is that correct?
I don't understand what you're saying here, the last sentence.
Did you understand what I said before I talked about the call center? Okay. I'm done.
All right. So let me address the first thing you said. Okay. First of all, first of all, you know, the thing about what Arthur Schwartz says and stuff like that. I'm the general manager. Well, so why are you listening to Arthur Schwartz? I'm the general manager of the station. I'm telling you, we need that to make at least $200, $250 per hour of show, every show. Arthur Schwartz is a general counsel. He's also a producer. Right? Like, you shouldn't be listening to him, first of all. Second of all, that's the problem with the network. Arthur Schwartz may look at the budget, you know, and then you can look at the budget and say, yeah, okay, so this is the budget. Oh, these are the expenses, so this is how much money you can make. I'm telling you how much money we make. Okay? What we are, the money we are making right now, the budget we have right now, is a budget that's not adequate. We need a much bigger budget than that. We need an executive producer. You know, I need an assistant.
We
need a development director. You know, we need a few things. So what I'm telling you is what you should listen to. And I'm not saying that as far as a dictatorship or anything like that, but, you know, everybody wants to look at everything else instead of just listening to, you know, the general manager. I mean, if you don't trust me, then get rid of me. But, you know, like, I've been giving you these numbers forever, and I don't understand why you have...
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying that Arthur Schwartz comes on his show today and says that the station can run on $1.3 billion. His listeners believe that that's what's true. That isn't true, and only me and you know that, and the people who attend the meeting. So the listeners say, okay, we raised $1 million. I keep saying a billion. Oh, we raised $1 million. How come the station isn't running? Because that is insufficient amount of money. You need $3 million to run the station any kind of close to properly. And I totally agree with you about that. That's why I suggested that every time you get the board up to ask for money, say where we are. If we're 4 months behind in the rent, how much is that? How much do we owe so that they can get, so that listeners like me can opine and see if we can find somebody who has money and get them to give it up. Going to foundations...
Okay, so I agree with you. I don't want to be confrontational, but this is what I'm sick and tired of. I've been giving that information for the past 13 years. At the Finance Committee meeting, maybe not every month, but, you know, I give you our aging payables. Everybody knows what's going on. So I don't understand why this thing about we have to let people know where we are. We know where we are. Another thing also I was discussing with someone, actually I was discussing with Bastille, we were laughing about it, you know, earlier today, is that, you know, people say, oh, Bertrand, you lied. Because 4 days ago, you told us you were doing fine. And now you say we're in trouble. Yes, because we go from day to day. 4 days ago, we just made payroll. And then we started as of the 15th, we're doing good. With payroll, we pay this bill, and then we start. The 15th, 16th, 17th. 15th, 16th, 17th, if you make like $800 a day on Fund Drive instead of $3,000, no, you look very quickly that you're not going to make your $20,000 payroll by the 15th or by the 12th. So, yes, we were okay on the 15th. And on the 18th or the 19th, I am saying we're in trouble. I don't understand why people do not understand those. These are very clear things to me, and maybe I'm not clear that I can say that we are doing fine today, and then in 4 days, I say we're in trouble. I don't want to say we're in trouble after 2 days of fundraising $800 a day, because, you know, trying to let it ride a little bit to see how we can do better.
but, you know, we could be fine today and in 4 days be in trouble. And so it's not a mixed message. It's the same message. And it seems like even you people on this committee don't get that. I don't understand why you don't get that. We are doing
I'd like to contrast.
Michael White of the stack.
Our poll is going to go next. So hold on. You done, Bertolt?
Yes, and then
okay.
I didn't mean to lecture anybody. I just wanted to explain that the frustration is that things change rapidly, very rapidly at BAI, and it makes it look like that we are not being candid with whomever we're giving the information. Like right now, we just said payroll. We have a few dollars to pay a few bills, not much. And today is the 15th, starting tomorrow the 16th, depending on what happened on the 16th, 17th, and 18th, I may tell you we're in trouble or not. You know, that's how it goes. Okay, I'm sorry.
Fine.
Thank you, I'm done.
Okay.
I'd like to be added to the stack. Oh, God.
All right, I'm going to make a motion to, to extend... 10 minutes, because people want to talk, and I'm going to talk, and we're all going to talk. All right, I make a motion that we extend cyber design by 10 minutes. Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's passed without objection. Mr. Timekeeper, it's 20:40, and I'm going to say something. All right, first, pardon me as I choke. First of all, we know... from a lot of people researching this kind of thing, that like major donors and people like that and grantors, they do not want to pay very much for day-to-day stuff. They want to say, you know, you're going to install a new studio or something. And then you ask them for that, and you might get some money. Also, they don't want to pay your back bills. They don't want to hear about that. That's for, like, the major donors and grantors. I have to think that the general listener also kind of shares that. If we tell them, oh, we got to pay our back bills, you know, they're going to say, well, what's gonna happen with that? You don't want to care about the back bills. So I don't know that telling them how much we owe in the back is a good pitching strategy. Maybe it is. If it is, I will be very surprised. So, you know, I don't know, maybe somebody should research that. Maybe have another station try it and see if they get problems. The other thing Bertolt is, you need to take a longer view. This idea of, we're doing fine, but, oh, I only mean that we're doing fine for today and the day before and 1 day ago, and then, you know, for the next 3 days we're doing terribly. You know, that you want to talk about driving yourself nuts and giving weird signals to people. Keep telling them that, you know, we're doing fine. Oh, no, we're not doing fine. And then switch back and forth in that a lot. Take a longer view and you'll see we're not really doing fine. Okay? And so I think you need to take that longer view, Bertolt, and it'll probably help you out as well. And it will really... it'll really make it so that people understand that the station is in financial straits at this point in time. Okay. That's what I had to say. Who else wants to be on the stack now?
Noel Jameson.
Michael White has to be on the stack. Yeah.
Okay. Who else wants to be on the stack? Nobody else? Noel, go ahead. You have the floor.
I've been on the finance committee for a while, and I can honestly say, and I'm defining a while as over 10 years, WBAI financially has not been well at any point during the 10-year period that I've been on the finance committee utilizing generally accepted accounting principles. We've always had either a deficit or liabilities exceeding our assets at the local level. And with respect to communications, I'm not faulting. I'm just simply saying that the purpose of financial statement and audit is to show the public your financial condition so that you can evaluate from a common perspective whether an organization is fine or not. The fact that we have for a couple of years not been able to produce those financial statements on a timely basis in and of itself means you're not doing fine as an organization. And since WBAI does not legally exist as a separate entity, we have to fall under the Pacifica financial statement reporting and results. I would also add that our listenership should understand that if the general manager is saying fine, then that what that means to the general manager. But if you're talking about getting donors and sustainability, you look to the financial statement. And that's, quite honestly, never been fine, and I'm not quite sure they will be in the near future, given the fact that we had to discuss earlier tonight what $8 million might mean. If we don't know whether we owe $8 million, if there's a possibility that we do, or there's some mechanism that we don't, but it's listed in the financials, then we don't have a true handle on the situation, and that means you're not fine. That's all I have to say about it. And I'm coming at it as a person who works in the area of turnaround finance. I have a master's degree in finance. I'm licensed in real estate. We've been mentioning real estate. I've been licensed for since 1980, and I've worked for the U.S. government closing banks and packaging up their assets for sale, which we seem to be doing now if you've been following the news. And WBAI has always been in financial trouble the entire time that I have seen it and have been involved, starting as a volunteer.
Okay. Next, Michael White, you have the floor.
Yeah. Bertold, the $1.3 million operating figure that was mentioned by Arthur Schwartz the other day, I remember going back in time being given that figure, but you know, it was a while ago. But I do think that being clear about what our actual figures are is helpful. So, for instance, that $1.3 million, at the same time, the president of WNYC was taking home about $1 million in what WNYC was paying her, plus another $200,000 from the Tribune Corporation. So basically, we were running the station, you know, and we run it on a shoestring, and you really deserve credit for that. We were running the station for the entire station on almost, you know, what was being paid to just the president of WNYC. But I think that being clear on these figures, and I guess it's costing us more, is important, because some of these figures, you know, they're intimidating, they seem high to us or whatever, but for a lot of people, you know, these are snigger figures that they can sneeze at. And if they knew how little it took to run our station and close our gaps, there's people who might step in. But I agree that a lack of clarity, I agree that the goal of clarity is important, so we know exactly what we're going to do. And you know, I know it's frustrating. You know, Arthur was using a figure that I was using in the past when he said that. I guess I didn't hear him say it, but I encourage that, and I encourage, you know, whatever clarity you can put in overall terms, because these figures are not necessarily huge. in the scheme of things for other people.
Daryl, for the staff.
Can I say a few words to address what Noel and Michael said? I'll be very brief.
Go ahead. Then we'll go to Daryl.
Okay. Noel is absolutely right. And Noel sometimes has been a pain in my, you know, side, you know, asking for financial reports, and then I've been frustrated, and then until he realized that it should be coming from the national office, because they do the accounting, I just do the finances and spreadsheet tracking, and then that's why I finally went into QuickBooks. To generate these reports to get an idea of where we are. And I can tell you that my QuickBooks are very pretty accurate, especially from the revenue side compared to the national office. And I definitely do not have, you know, assets and, you know, a balance sheet. I tried, but, you know, that would take a lot of work and help from the national office. Noel refused to accept the fact that what I'm giving you are financials for like 6-7 years. Anything prior to that, I did not include. And then it was, you know, and Noel is right about the fact that, you know, we were supposed to take a big bath a while back, the whole network, so that we can start at one point, so that we can all be clear on the same page. These $8 million, you know, is fantasy. They were supposed to take a big bath and clear up those things and then start at a certain point. And I think that if that was done, we would have a lot, a much closer financial statement than that matches or QuickBooks than what you are saying, Noel. I mean, obviously, it would be reflected in the notes somewhere in some financial, but they keep on talking about the other national office and they never do it. A big bat is when you clean up all nonsense, the garbage, you take a big bat, you wash yourself off all the things, and then you start anew at a certain point. And that was supposed to be done 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 6 years ago, and never was never done.
Okay. So time is being called. You done, Bertold?
Yes.
Okay. Time is being called. Does anybody want to? Does anybody else want to be on the stack to speak? If not, we can move on. Or does somebody want to make a motion to extend the time for this one?
A message from Radar. Gertrude's in the hospital.
And I don't know who.
Don't know, folks. I have headphones in.
Stuff on here like this.
No, no, we'll take them out.
Hold on. And then they disappear. Boy, the stuff with the noise coming on here, they disappear when I go to look for them. Anyway, so Daryl, you have a motion
to extend for 2 minutes, so I can just give out something that shouldn't take more than 30 seconds.
The older one was extended to Jazz. I never heard from, we didn't hear from
over
Christmas, and I wondered.
Who is
speaking now? Somebody on the call is just playing stuff on there, and I can't tell who it is. Motion is to extend this item by 2 minutes. Is there any objection?
They were going on a long, long trip last time you told me.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I can't hear
you. Hold on a second. Okay, it's extended. Mr. Timekeeper, it is 2052, and everybody else keep quiet. And
there you go.
I think I found who was making the noise. Okay, Daryl, go ahead.
All right. Just as a clarification, Bertold, and once again, I think you and Linda do miracles with what you have to work with. I totally agree. $300 an hour would be excellent. And, of course, you need to portion that out over the time, you know, some hours more, some hours less. Not the point. That's why I'm saying, if you have the board up, say, we raised $200 last hour. We need $300. So next hour, let's go for four. Something to that effect. That's it.
Okay. If nobody else has anything else for all of this, where is that? Okay, 1 second, folks. Had a little crash, and
we're up to next meeting date.
Yeah, hold. Yeah, let me find it here because it's. While I was doing stuff there, we had a little computer crash, and so the stuff I was following on the word processor has vaporized. But I'm getting it now, and yes, set next meeting date is the next item, and so we're going to that. All right, so, oh, God, I got to bring up a different thing right now. Okay, and hold on. I have to bring up the other. Here it is. I have to bring up something else that fell off when I crashed. Okay, today is March 15th. It's the Ides of March, and... okay, so figure a month from now would
be
April.
Where are the Ides of March?
Yes. A month from now would be April 19th or 26th, whatever you want. Are there any holidays in there? It can't be Easter, I know that. But people want to do the 19th or the 26th of April, assuming neither of those is somebody's holiday. Okay, how about this? I'll make a motion that we meet next on April 19th. Okay? So that's a motion. For 19. Okay. I move that we meet next on April 19th at 7 p.m. and all this stuff. Is there any debate on the motion? Hearing none. Is there any objection to meeting next on April 19th at 7 p.m.? Hearing none. Motion passes, and that's where we are. And where is, okay. Next, we have new business. Any new business?
Yes.
Okay. Who has new business?
Yes, this is Nancy from KPFT.
Uh-huh.
After this PMB gets rid of KPFK's property, they're going to come after DAI. Very strong possibility, because they've already been talking about signals, signal brokers. This relentless group called New Day is not going to stop with KPFK. That's all.
Point of order.
Okay. Point of order, yes. What's the point of order?
I don't understand how that was new business.
Okay. Why don't we just go on for a bit? Okay. Anybody else have any new business? Anybody have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. Is there any objection to adjourning?
Thank you, Nancy.
Hearing none. Hearing no objection, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.
Good night.
Thank you.